Well, today I am joined by two friends, and we've been on a journey together over several years. Portia, even longer. Yeah. But today we're talking about a topic that I think is easy to jump into the very controversial political question mark. I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to listen. I'm concerned. And because of that, I don't want to get involved. And I think what's amazing about that is that you two say, hey, I know that that's where a lot of people feel, even people in the church. Mm-hmm. And we want to step in because we want to redeem, I think is even a wrong word, because it's, we want to go back to the beginning and mm-hmm. say that, you know, related to DEI, which is how a lot of companies refer to it. And we will talk about even why we don't use that terminology in our church, but we've been on a journey together of, okay, since 2020, there was a few things that happened in our city.
Just a couple.
And even when we mention it, people listening probably are like, I don't want to talk about that time because it's so mm-hmm. pretend or so tenuous. Mm-hmm. But in the same way, there's a lot of lessons we've learned over mm-hmm. the last 4 years and then working together for over 3 years about what are things we can uncover on our team when it comes to talking about what we would call diversity and belonging. Mm-hmm. And so maybe if you can share why you've stepped into that arena mm-hmm. and why you care about that and why other people should as well. And hopefully then I can be the representative, even though you're friends mm-hmm. of the house and right. you know, been living here for a while, just moved away sadly, but you know the heart of our church, and I can kind of represent from the executive team level mm-hmm. the journeys that we've been on, and maybe mm-hmm. people who clicked on listening to this episode, they're saying, where are we going to go with this? Mm-hmm. Hopefully we can help to answer questions on how you can maybe avoid the traps that the world has set for us related right. to this topic right. and look at, okay, what is the beauty? And Portia, I'll start with you because you actually were on the podcast about long time ago.
Long time ago.
And you're back.
I am back. It's so good to be back. Thanks so much, Pastor Logan. I love how you talked about the fact that we recognize that these conversations can be tenuous. And there is a way to navigate these topics and do it with joy, to do it with hope. And one of the things that we say at Imago Dei is that we are helping people rediscover mm-hmm. diversity through a biblical perspective. Because as believers, which most of our work is with other believers, I think it makes it really good to jump off a foundation of Jesus and him bringing people together, and then looking at how he's brought people together, he doesn't expect us all to look the same, to talk the same, to act the same, to have all of the same experiences, because we've all come from different places. As image bearers of God, all of it, all you have to do is look and go, wow, God, you are so creative. And so we have found that when we work with churches, River Valley, for example, that it went from a place of, I don't know, I feel like this might get us off target, to it's a celebration of what God has placed in our community and the people that we've been called to serve. And so once we get to that place, it's a celebration of diversity. Mm-hmm. It's a celebration of, I'm not going to have you here just because you have to be here. I want you here because I want you here because you're part of the body of Christ. And together we get to go out and reach more people and bring them into the family of God.
Right.
And so mm-hmm. I think that's what's been really, really important about this work, and something that I really look forward to is seeing the joy of, oh, this doesn't have to be depressing. This mm-hmm. doesn't have to be condemning, because God doesn't condemn us anyway.
Right.
So those are my thoughts.
Yeah, and I love what you said about not taking it off mission, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's mm-hmm. where many people, they hear from people yeah. In their congregations mm-hmm. that say, look at what this is what this is doing in my workplace. This is taking us not even only off mission, kingdom mission, but this mm-hmm. is taking us off the rails and, you know, getting into the political mm-hmm. realm and getting mm-hmm. into quotas and different things that maybe people feel are now reversing it, right?
Right.
Like you mm-hmm. you don't want to reverse things to say, oh, well, we're caring really well for people with disabilities, but now we're not going to care well for them and, mm-hmm. in order to care well for these people. And so right. I think there are a lot of people that just put, that's why they walk away from this conversation, because right. they say, if it's going to change the mission, mm-hmm. which is the Great Commission, I'm out.
Right. right? Mm-hmm.
So, but obviously you've been passionate about that for a long time, Alicia.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I need to back up a little bit to share how I got to this place
yeah.
because I have an amazing family that's part of River Valley, and that's how I first really got connected here. But my work in diversity and belonging started 7 years before that, maybe. And my first love, my passion, is studying cultural differences, cultural similarities, things that can either cause us to build bridges or have huge rifts. And I had a lot of experience doing that overseas, which translates to different definitions of diversity than we might have here in Minnesota. And then that led me to working with teams in the corporate space and government and state here in Minnesota. But in 2020, we had someone from our church, from River Valley, reach out and say, hey, can you help us with this? And we have both done it on the side where we've had churches call us. But especially in 2020, we had so many pastors reaching out saying, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to respond. And the pull goes both ways. You have people that are afraid to respond because they're saying, is this connected to the gospel or is this a distraction or even more dangerous? But you also have people who are finding incredible healing that are saying, finally, we're talking about some things. Finally, the church is talking about race, ethnicity, gender, but ability, a lot of the things that you've talked about. And for the people who were kind of feeling overlooked, marginalized, it kind of created this opening where suddenly people were shook and saying, wait, maybe we can do more. Maybe there is something in God's heart because there's an outcry coming from society, from the world. Mm-hmm. And so when we started working with River Valley, we spent almost 2 years, a year or two, just listening to the community. And then, as you've kind of alluded to already, talking to leaders and saying, what's going on here? What do we do with this? What do these terms mean to us? Where do we start? And that felt like it reminded me of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because everyone he encountered in scripture, he started with a question, a curiosity. Right. And any what we call dimension of diversity or label that someone could wear, he helped come back to their true calling, their true identity, and bring them to himself. Mm-hmm. But as we, especially with Imago Dei now, have spent a lot of time unpacking scriptures around this, it is shocking to see how many dimensions of diversity are mentioned in scripture as part of the process of people coming into the family of God. And so there's more to say there, but I think that's how I transitioned. And I still love working with, you know, non-Christian organizations, but I've always had a heart and a passion for the church and even that, you know, that core heart of the global church. And so coming back and meeting Portia and meeting all of you, it's just opened the door to say, how do we continue to take and filter resources so that we know that it is going to truly build up the church and not cause division.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that has encouraged me, I don't know if I say most because there are a lot of things that we'll talk about, but that was unexpected was the pace in which we went. And I think a lot of people who are listening right now, and again, maybe they're listening as this releases, or maybe they've found their way back to this due to an event that happened in their city or due to something on their staff or something in their church that was, hey, we need to talk about this. Again, I don't know how they found this here, but to us, it started with, again, the most obvious thing in our city of riots that were happening. But then it made its way to the church to say, okay, do we care about, do we understand the feelings of the riots? We don't agree with the riots. Is it easy to throw it out? There's all these question marks that I don't think are our topic for today. But in what came out of it was most pastors, maybe even the ones who reached out to you, said, what do I say this weekend? Or what do I say over the next 2 or 3 weeks to, again, dare I use the word appease people, and again, from both sides, from all ethnicities. Like, it's not, there's the political side, there's ethnic side, there's all sorts of things. So that I can just have everybody calm down. Like, I don't want them to leave before they calm down. And, but I don't want to stoke the fires. And so I think that's probably where a lot of people found themselves and where we found ourselves in the midst of this saying, all right, we're going to spend a year just talking to people. And I think all of us were thinking, okay.
It's not the River Valley way.
That's not our, it's not the River Valley way.
Right.
But especially in pastors, it's like, well, no, I want the quick, I mean, we want you to get saved, get discipled, become a missionary, become a church planter in a quick amount of time. It's just, we can be victims of that. So maybe if you could talk about, why is that important in this process where I think, in the DEI space, and again, I'm using that word in kind of a, I'm kind of pushing it negative, but I don't, I know some people maybe have a positive view of that, but in terms of, in how I'm using it would be more the corporate non-biblical sense. In that space, how people maybe are trying to get a program rushed in, get it in place so that management's happy, get it in place so that our investors are happy. We took a different approach. So talk about the importance of that and why that was the way we went.
I actually came to the process later, but was a part of the process as an observer because my husband was on staff and obviously I'm part of the church. And so I was not sideways hearing the conversations. I was paying close attention and praying of just, Lord, help us to understand how to love people. Because I think it comes down to how do we love people well? We do it all the time. If you have more than one child, if you, I've lived a bunch of different places. And so I have allegiance to the Vikings because I lived in Minnesota for over a decade. I have allegiance to the team that my parents loved all of their lives because they grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. So I'm low-key a Washington Commander fan. I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan, even though my husband is. But I use that as an example of, you know what? When I'm in Minnesota, I know how to cheer for the Vikings. When they're playing the Packers, I know how to be like, go Vikings, you know? Yes. I've learned because I have relationship with people that love the Vikings. Heartbreak or celebration, whatever happens, that I know how to approach them during the particular game.
Mostly heartbreak, but...
Mostly heartbreak, but you know, God can heal all things. In the same way, when we're dealing with people, and I use that as a very simple example, when we're dealing with people, we don't love everybody the exact same way. Because people are different. Anyone who knows me knows that I'm a hugger. I love to hug people. However, I recognize that not everybody likes physical affection in that way. And so because I care about that person, I'm going to take time to get to know them. And I can learn pretty quickly whether or not, you know what, this is just a high five. This is just a wave. This is just a kind word when I'm dealing with this particular person. And when we're talking about issues around diversity, that's what we've been inviting pastors to do. But it actually begins with knowing who you are. Our company is called Imago Dei. Because we are the image of God and who we are begins with knowing who God is and how that flows out to other people. And I think the pace that you mentioned, yes, it is. It feels maybe counterintuitive because no, there's a fire. We got to put the fire out right now. But there is so much growth that came from taking the time and wrestling specifically within the leadership of the church going, how do we see this? How do we reconcile this in our hearts and our spirits based on what we know in God's word? Because once the leadership was settled, then it was so much easier to bring it to the rest of the team and the staff and then the overflow into the congregation of the multiple campuses of River Valley. That it takes time to know someone. It takes time to be able to recognize, oh, this is how they prefer things and we can absolutely do this because we love them, because we want them to come and know that they belong here at River Valley. You know, one more example, sorry, and then I'll stop. We have earplugs at every campus because we love to worship and sometimes our worship can be loud. And so that is a small example at River Valley. We want everybody to feel that they can be a part of worship. You can go to another room and encounter worship, or you can put in the earplugs so that you can be in and with the community and celebrating. To me, that is an example of, you know what, recognizing the diversity of people in their ears and what they can handle with how we are celebrating the name of Jesus. You could just be like, no, this is what we do. Deal with it. But we provide avenues for people to engage with worship, and that is creating space for belonging for diverse people and their needs.
Right.
So I love that. The examples are what make it hit home. It's what people live in every day. Two big thoughts came to mind when you were talking, Pastor Logan, and the first one on the timing. I remember my first meeting with Pastor Clint Ruddy. Shout out to Clint for starting this whole thing off. And I said, this is a 3-year project. And he's like, what? And I was like, he goes, okay, I could see it. And I think the reason, and it's actually one of the biggest pitfalls, is that people want to create a solution and respond in the moment because then they'll feel better, which is very different than healing. And we're talking about community, societal healing. And in order to do that, especially within the church, I think Portia and I are both really passionate about unity.
Yes.
Currently, the scope of like social media coming out of COVID, I'm like, even my own siblings and I aren't getting the same definitions to words, no less people in a large community. Right. So you take a staff and a staff of 100 people that's impacting 10,000 people. We needed time to create and cultivate the unity and the language and the confidence, because if we had empowered the staff to just like hit the media, you know, or just like writing posts for you guys, the staff, the people standing at the front of the church, wouldn't know how to respond to the people coming forward. Right. And so it's better to go slow and say, I don't know, I'm listening, I'm learning, I'm humble, I'm curious. Mm-hmm. I'm figuring it out. We don't have all the answers. Right. And in that, as you take that posture of humility or cultural humility, you just learn so much. Right. And so I think that because we're passionate about healing, mm-hmm. unity, like those words can't just be words. Mm-hmm. And so given the nature of this, I'm really grateful for good mentors, and I'm really grateful for how God has led me to the place where we basically organized change management. Right. And then just this last December with you all, we had a really celebratory day where we had every single department got up and shared testimonies mm-hmm. of where they've seen diversity and belonging, where they innovated in their own area of leadership, mm-hmm. not because we did like wrote the playbook for them, but right. because they began to see the importance of mm-hmm. some of these things.
Right.
Yeah. I think that the two things that were so important mm-hmm. in what you guys just said is, first, I think the unexpected areas of diversity and belonging, just like you mentioned with the earplugs, mm-hmm. to where a lot of people, I think their eyes widened to say, oh, these definitions, which I want to get to that in a second as well, mm-hmm. these definitions are much broader and maybe less intimidating mm-hmm. than I thought they were. For example, just sharing another one at our Faribault campus, their Kingdom Builders Project this mm-hmm. last year was to raise money for an elevator because yeah. they had multiple people that are in wheelchairs mm-hmm. and going up around the building is very difficult, especially in the, right. the winter months. And so that was the Kingdom Builders Project. Mm-hmm. And going down there after it's been finished, people are so proud of it and excited. Mm-hmm. Well, to a lot of people who are listening, well, that's obvious. Yeah, because right. you helped make it more accessible to right. people. And I think as you say that out loud, mm-hmm. you go, oh, mm-hmm. got it. That makes sense. Now, on the reverse side of that, when you feel like you're being attacked mm-hmm. because of maybe not keeping on this analogy, somebody walking in and saying, this church is evil and they're fill in the blank name because mm-hmm. you don't have an elevator.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's where I think a lot of people felt
wow,
is, oh my goodness, you're attacking me. I'm sorry, I don't have the money for an elevator. Or I didn't mm-hmm. know we needed it, or we never had somebody here before that needed that. And so mm-hmm. I think you found a lot of pastors mm-hmm. that are listening, and maybe those in their car are nodding their heads because they yeah. felt that way yeah, at the right. time yeah. of, you didn't say, hey, do you have an elevator? You came right. in with signs mm-hmm. and yelling yeah. that I didn't have an elevator, and I didn't mm-hmm. even know that. Mm-hmm. And so with that, you mentioned the definitions. Mm-hmm. Just to kind of peel back the onion a little bit, which both of you, by the way, are very good in the boardroom. I know that word isn't used a lot in the church space.
Sure.
But just you handle yeah. yourself very well. And I think that was something right away mm-hmm. where, Alicia, you were there earlier in the process. And Portia, again, you're just a friend, but working in mm-hmm. conjunction as, okay, my husband's a pastor here, and now I'm working in a professional capacity on this project. Yeah. To where when we had a disagreement about a definition, we didn't brush by it. I mean, right. I remember, I think it was probably the word equity was one of the words that we spent the most amount of time yes. on. And, you know, equality, equity, there was things talked about, there was mm-hmm. disagreements. What does that mean? What doesn't it mean? Mm-hmm. And I don't even think it was resolved in the first meeting, maybe not even the second meeting. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was multiple times, and we didn't mm-hmm. exclusively talk about mm-hmm. that the whole right. time, but mm-hmm. I do think any bit of these words, and I see that happening now with words that are thrown around like Christian nationalism mm-hmm. or other things mm-hmm. that just to somebody that means, oh, well, I'm a Christian in America. Yeah. Cool. You know, somebody else, that's a very mm-hmm. extremist racist, and yeah. you go, mm-hmm. oh my goodness, those are heavy words to throw right. around.
Yeah.
And I think you're right, Alicia, that maybe the biggest detriment to the church is we've lost our definitions of things, mm-hmm. and in turn, we've lost our definition of scriptural meanings to allow everyone to believe different things mm-hmm. because they've defined them different ways. So I don't know mm-hmm. if there's thoughts expanding upon yeah. the definitions and how we've been able to maybe overcome some of those mm-hmm. challenges. That
sure.
would be another maybe pitfall to mm-hmm. say, how do you define the words
yeah.
that you are using to your congregation or even to your staff?
Yeah.
That was a lot.
There's so many thoughts on this portion.
I have pictures in my head, and then I think of things that you've said in yeah. the past. So I'm going to tee you up with this,
yeah.
is that something that we've been really passionate about is reclaiming words in scripture mm-hmm. that culture has taken and twisted and made mm-hmm. to be divisive. and how right. it's played out. And so that's something that actually I think you're really gifted in doing and recognizing those words and those themes and communicating that to the different churches and congregations we get to. So
equity being a core example of that.
Yes.
Because King Solomon, the smartest person on earth, was like, God, please give me equity. Mm-hmm. Like in Proverbs 1, it's in his story. And I'm like, okay, I can't throw it out because it's there. But what you're alluding to is a very real conflict because like language changes over time and language develops into different connotations in different communities. Mm-hmm. So even when we teach and train, like we have an online course that's out right now. And we tell them, we don't know. If you're watching this is in Texas, where Portia lives, it's different than in Minnesota. And I mean, I really think language is beautiful. And it's one of the greatest ways that we engage in creation with God is the logos. But I'm like, even the term Christian was initially used as a curse. Mm-hmm. And over time, people took it back and said, no, that's my word. Mm-hmm. And almost every other area of diversity, you hear words, you're like, oh, we weren't supposed to say that in the 60s. Now we just say it and it's fine. Mm-hmm. And that's because humans are constantly reclaiming things, especially about their identities. Mm-hmm. And that's why even when you refer to a friend, you know, an African-American, a person of color, mm-hmm. they might have different ways of even identifying and sharing that. But it's part of, because identity and language are a creative process. Mm-hmm. So backing up, when you have a team that's like, what do we do with this? Are we supposed to say this? I thought that was a good term. And now I'm walking on eggshells. And you add to that a platform where like a lot of people, I'm like, I have to get on stage and invite people to pray for this topic. And I'm just afraid I'm going to say something offensive. Right. So it does take time to peel back the onion. And I really believe that this is part of the call on leadership. And it just takes time to lead in that space. But again, diversity and belonging is not this extra department. It shouldn't be like a department in your church or your company. It should be a lens and ethos through which you treat people mm-hmm. and have a humility to recognize that you don't know. You don't know if you don't have a woman on your team, you don't know what it's like for a woman to join your team. Mm-hmm. Ask them. See how you can create space. See what they need. And so I'm kind of getting off topic on that, but I think coming back to the heart of we do want to restore confidence. Yeah. That's something we feel passionate about. And so there's one thing that we did with the campus pastors at River Valley was saying, we invite you to approach some of these topics just as a son or a daughter of God. Mm-hmm. Ask the hard questions, be curious. And then we invite you to put on your leader hat and say, okay, you're going to hit the stage in Minneapolis this Sunday. You might want to be really wise about what words you use and even use other descriptions. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if we're in a place that, let's say in the audience, I know that we're going to have like a Target definition of equity and a Walmart definition of equity, mm-hmm. and we're going to have a church definition and a Bible scholar there, we start saying what we mean. So we say, you know, not all the time, but at that time it was like, mm-hmm. we remove barriers so that right. every single person can come to know God in our church. Mm-hmm. Everyone is welcome here. And you start to qualify what it means if the term is really contentious. Right. Other options, there's just a lot of other things that we just need to grow in our understanding of it. But again, that doesn't need to be a stressful process.
Right.
And so I think that's what we'd like to demystify a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if you have any more encouragement.
No,
on that.
I like what you said about giving the pastors an opportunity to sit and to internalize what does this word mean? I mean, it's very similar. If we're establishing a culture in a particular place, you talk about the culture all the time. Yeah. You do things that match the culture all the time. And so mm-hmm. with diversity and belonging not being a separate office or a separate thing like, oh, we got to put this on right now. But as it's part of us, because we want to make sure that everybody that God has called us to serve has an opportunity to belong in the space where we're existing. You've got to have that inside. I think I said this once we started talking. Maybe I said it before, but you are very good at synthesizing things, mm-hmm. Logan. And so that is what we are asking people to do, to take in what God brings to them and synthesize the people, to synthesize the experiences. And it takes some, you can't always go really fast mm-hmm. when you're doing that. You have to lean in, listen. Alicia mentioned having a heart posture of humility. It's okay mm-hmm. to say, you know what? I don't know. Can you tell me more about this? And mm-hmm. the person will tell you as much as they feel comfortable enough mm-hmm. telling you. And it's a beautiful process when taken. I got another picture. You ready? Okay. I love to make chili and it's an open, pour. Open the cans, brown the meat, pour in the seasonings. If you eat the chili immediately, it's all right. But if you let it sit on the stove, it gets so much better, right? The same thing, I think, with conversations like this. We could go quick, but if we will take the time to just lean in and to hear what has to be said, mm-hmm. it's going to taste so much better mm-hmm. to the person serving it and to the people that are receiving what's been served. Mm-hmm. I also might be hungry.
Yeah, now it's making those listening hungry. The thing I think that is very challenging for people, mm-hmm. and I know there's a couple more pitfalls we want to get to, so I want to make sure to get to those as well, mm-hmm. is the pace in which language changes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you also have in the church one of the most, if not the most, cross-generational organizations mm-hmm. in the entire world. I mean, most True. Workplaces start at 16 maybe minimum, but in corporate settings, it could right. be 21, 22 years old, and then people maybe are retiring in their 60s. Whereas in the church, you have newborns mm-hmm. to people that are at their end of life right. all together That's in true, one yeah. place. And so when you think about mm-hmm. the generational differences, mm-hmm. you have people, I mean— It's crazy for me to think. I'm 27. Mm-hmm. There are people who were alive during the wars that are distant history for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There are people that have an understanding of when the Cold War is talked about, which again, like, that's not even that long ago. But for me, that's like, what are you talking about? You thought you were going to get a nuclear bomb on this place? Mm-hmm. That's real to them. Mm-hmm. Now, for me, I was 5 years old when 9/11 happened. Mm-hmm. There's many people, even on our staff, that weren't alive mm-hmm. when that happened. There's generational things. Mm-hmm. COVID is the most recent kind of mm-hmm. point in history. And so to have people like my grandma to say, I was born during mm-hmm. World War II, and then to have all of these different events that have shaped their life and mm-hmm. language changing, and now to have technology that language has changed so frequently. I mean, yeah. this is crazy. I was talking to my brother about this the other day. In 2015, I remember it vividly because I was living overseas. 2015, gay marriage was legalized federally. Mm-hmm. That was 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. Wow. And so you think about, if you were to bring that up today mm-hmm. to people, most people would think, oh, that was a really long time ago. 9 years is not that long of time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then to see how things have changed in relation to maybe public opinion on that idea, right. it's changed quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And so maybe... Mm-hmm. Before we jump into those following two, and I want to get to those as well, mm-hmm. are there any ways that you can help people who are struggling with that? Because I think you shared some great points, Alicia, to how you need to clarify what you mean by that. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of people in congregations mm-hmm. that say, well, this is what the word meant for me, mm-hmm. and it's changed fast, and I don't want to change. I don't want to use the word that they're using.
Right.
Who wins when the 80-year-old and the 60-year-old, the 40-year-old, the 20-year-old, and the 5-year-old they all have different definitions. Mm-hmm. Whose definition wins?
Right.
It's a hard question.
It is a very hard question. And at the risk of sounding like I'm giving an oversimplified answer, I think when we talk about, and you mentioned this, of knowing what this is to yourself first based on God's word, right? Mm-hmm. If we are operating in a spirit of humility, and we have all these different things. First and foremost, we know that Jesus didn't call us to be divided. And so we can be in the same space and not agree, right? And I think that's something that's unfortunately been lost a great deal in our state, in our country. And it's something that personally I pray about a lot, specifically for the church, yeah. to know that I can worship beside somebody that maybe thinks very differently than I do politically. Am I actually able to do that? I can worship with somebody. I can serve with someone who puts their money in places that I would never invest my money. But because we both name the name of Jesus, we can coexist together. And so mm-hmm. I think it comes back to recognizing, okay, if we are all part of one body, knowing that we are not going to be lockstep. We can be unified without being uniform. Mm-hmm. And so these changes, let's continue to be curious. We've talked about that yeah. of tell me more about that. It doesn't mean that I'm going to change my mind. Yep. But tell me more. Tell me about your experience, because mm-hmm. the more you learn about someone, the more you're able to empathize with mm-hmm. that person. And even if you don't agree, mm-hmm. your posture toward them is going to be softer and more mm-hmm. grace-filled because you took the time to hear their stance versus your stance. Mm-hmm. So that's like, I really love the church and really believe that the church is the answer, yeah. That Jesus has commissioned us. Mm-hmm. And if we can get this in the church, it makes all the difference mm-hmm. of those who have yet to name the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that's, I think yeah. that's the end of my thought.
I think I had this thought on the airplane today that every pitfall I can think of why to not do diversity and belonging is the exact same reason that I'm like, we have to do this. Mm-hmm. And part of that reason, I think generationally, comes to mind a lot. That I'm like, our kids, like I've got a little guy who's Gen Alpha. I'm like, he's going to need us to engage these things and not be afraid. And so I think that some of the problems we're dealing with today is because a lot of Christians, in my experience, when I, you know, through university, through studying these topics, who's writing the books on them, mm-hmm. who's on the forefront, who's on the podcasts, it hasn't been led a lot by believers. And therefore, we receive a lot of frameworks, mm-hmm. worldviews, ideologies that then we're sifting, like, is that God? Is that not God? Mm-hmm. How much better if we go back to scripture, our worldview, our thoughts, and say, what is the heart of God on this? Mm-hmm. And the fun thing is, it's always higher. It's a mm-hmm. higher standard for love. It's a higher mm-hmm. standard for going out of your way to serve somebody else. It's not self-protection. It's laying your life down for your friend. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things that I'm like, we have it. Mm-hmm. And even as you use the multi-generational example, it's like, okay, how do we do this? That's a lot of tension to have 5-6 generations in one space. I believe that by bringing those people together and asking those questions, they help heal each other. Mm-hmm. So it is the grandma who has time to ask the 12-year-old, what's school like these days? Mm-hmm. Like, what books are you reading? What is that like? And to do it, again, this word curiosity feels mm-hmm. very healing to us. That's why we use it so much. Not like the, what are they teaching you? Let me see your books. Let me throw this one out. Start a fight with your teacher. Right. It's just like, yeah, but they're going to be doing this for years. And so partner with them, teach them the skills, help them understand, and also grow as a person to say, wow, like me and my grandpa had some great face-offs. Let me tell you that his understanding of race and ethnicity was different than mine because he was raised in the South in a very mm-hmm. different era than me. Mm-hmm. And we had to face off about that because it mattered. But by doing that, we both became more aware, if that makes mm-hmm. sense. Mm-hmm. And so on a practical note, when you're saying, okay, but how do we people do this? Mm-hmm. We've been very abstract today. That idea of conversations, but if a church or a community wants to cultivate that, what are the books that you're recommending and reading? Mm-hmm. Who are the people that are having space to lead and to talk? Because simply by having, you know, Portia as like a mama mentor to me, I'm learning different things that I never thought of before. So giving space, like who do you give space to? Who do you give voices to? That's the conversation on representation. But at River Valley, we actually came in and started with interviews, mm-hmm. interviews, surveys. We said, we want to hear, we want to know, we don't want to assume. Right. And that let people kind of get out, what do you actually need or what do you want to talk about? And so I think that there's a lot to be done. And the last idea I'd throw in is like a forums, focus groups, like actually gather people to have a specific conversation. And especially if you're in leadership and you're like, we don't know how to do this, there's probably people within your wealth of community mm-hmm. that would be able and willing to come and join that. And you just got to believe God will bring people as you go. 100%. So,
yeah. And one of the things that I think a lot of our teams uncovered in this process is the importance of inviting people in so that listening can be a goal. Mm-hmm. Cool. And I think for me, mm-hmm. as a Enneagram 3 achiever, sometimes listening can feel like, well, what's the end goal here? And right. so let's just jump over that one mm-hmm. and then solve the problem. Right. Like if I heard from somebody, hey, Alicia has a challenge, here's the challenge, my natural inclination is I'm going to just solve the problem.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas there may be something important from me hearing it from you mm-hmm. that might uncover a quicker mm-hmm. or more efficient or maybe not even quicker, maybe slower, but better mm-hmm. solution right. mm-hmm. that I realize in this process, maybe listening is important. And again, Logan, but I do have a podcast where I listen to people.
Yeah. You're great listening.
But I think that a lot of times, again, I'm trying to be vulnerable here because yeah. I do think there's a lot of people that find yeah, themselves right. in that situation to say, it's not that I don't care. Right. I actually think that mm-hmm. that is a misconception, or mm-hmm. at least for mm-hmm. me, I would say that about others. Mm-hmm. You assuming I don't care mm-hmm. because I don't want to listen, again, mm-hmm. for going down the analogy, is not because I don't care.
Right.
It's because I actually care so much. I don't want to use the time. If we already know the problem, mm-hmm. I want to solve that problem. Mm-hmm. And I want to help you so much that I don't want to delay the help that I'm trying to give you by waiting for us to find a time to connect and hear what you have to say when I already know what the problem is. I hope that I'm putting language to some people who are there to say, it's not out of a lack of care that I don't want to listen to you. It's I really care about you.
Right.
But I think what I've uncovered is sometimes that is the right response is no, we just solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But other times, no, the actual healing or the actual winning, the actual solution is in the listening.
Right.
Sometimes you get done with a conversation where you listen, you go, there's no problem at all.
Yeah.
The missing link was that we weren't listening to each other and there actually isn't an issue. We just never sat down to talk about it.
Right.
And we don't need to change anything.
Right.
We just need to sit down more and maybe listen or this solved it for the next time. So again, I don't know if that's the answer to the question, but I do think for kind of wrapping a bow on that, that first part, for those who are concerned, don't let listening be a means to the end.
Correct.
Let it be, this is a helpful part to say, we've grown in proximity, we've grown in understanding, we've grown in maybe the areas that we were weak in or blind spots, fill in the blank. But I think so often we think, listen to me to tell you how bad you are or how bad of a job you're doing. Whereas instead, the answer is no, listening can actually be one of the solutions in itself,
right. And I think what sometimes happens is there's a, and you touched on this, there's a fear in listening because I'm doing the best I know how.
Right.
And so for you to come and tell me you're not doing a good job is like, no, who wants to be in that position? But I think as leaders, we have to accept the fact that we might hear you're missing the mark, but we don't know we're missing the mark. We don't know what we don't know. And that listening is what opens up, oh, I didn't know that. Or to your point, Logan, that, oh, thank you so much for sharing this. And there was clarification that happened. And in communication, relationship is built and there's more trust that's built. And then you're able to continue to move forward, not in a silo, but together.
Right.
And so listening is very, very key. And I would encourage pastors that are listening right now, if there is a, if you're in a moment where I'm afraid of what they're going to say, first let's bring that to the Lord because he can strengthen you to hear because I know that you care for the people that God has called you to serve. And in listening to them, even if there is an area that maybe you've missed the mark, there is grace, there's no condemnation for you. And there is a way because you've been listening and you've been curious to walk through and to hit the target, if I want to use that language, you know, I do like to win. I might have a little bit of achiever in me too.
So good.
Portia, would you share that example that you did last week just about how a campus pastor heard you?
100%. So in 2016 in the Twin Cities, there was a big court case that was very specific to Minnesota. And the ruling didn't go the way that many people of color thought it was going to go. And I didn't realize how much I was grieved by it until I got to church and my campus pastor stood up and said, we have people in our congregation that are hurting today. You don't have to have the answers and you don't have to fix it, but you can love our brothers and sisters and you can be there for them. And I just wept because I didn't know that I needed someone who was a spiritual authority in my life to acknowledge the pain that I was feeling, the pain that I couldn't even actively name yet, to hear someone who saw me, saw others like me and went, I know that you're hurting and I'm sorry, ministered to me so much. Yeah. And I felt, man, this is a place that loves me, even if they don't fully understand the hurt that I'm walking through. But just the acknowledgement of the hurt, it was amazing. And I've told that story so many times because I think it's such an example of you don't have to have experienced the pain that someone is walking through to show empathy and care and love and to be an agent of healing.
Yeah.
That pastor was an agent of healing in my heart that day. And because he spoke publicly about it, it gave other people permission to say, I don't know how to fix this, but I'm so sorry that this is happening. I'm so sorry that there is hurt that exists in your life right now. And isn't that the way that we minister to people of, I'm so sorry that this happened. I'm going to be with you in it. And so it is very, very powerful to acknowledge experiences that may be different from your own, Because I think the temptation is just, well, let's just carry on, because there are so many things that happen in our world. And if we address everything, we will negate sharing the gospel message. Mm-hmm. But sometimes there are things that you just, you acknowledge their presence mm-hmm. so that healing can come. Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think what can be so confusing in the whole process is why certain things become important mm-hmm. in media mm-hmm. and in culture, mm-hmm. whether they be local or global. I remember actually the morning after Memorial Day, after George Floyd was killed, mm-hmm. I believe it was on Memorial Day when he was killed. And I woke up that next morning when the video came out, and I think it was 7 o'clock, and I called my dad right away. Mm-hmm. And I said, this is about to be huge. Mm-hmm. We need to figure this just out. Mm-hmm. Now, it was our city. I didn't know it was going to be global.
Right.
But there was something about it, just you knew it was mm-hmm. going to be bigger. Mm-hmm. There are other things that I think are confusing to people mm-hmm. that why does this resonate right. with you, or you mentioned as a person of color mm-hmm. or as a mm-hmm. Christian? Or mm-hmm. I mean, my dad brings this up sometimes, and it's so odd, but in Nigeria, there's a lot of Christians being killed. Mm-hmm. It's not news.
Right.
And I think that can be one of the more confusing things totally. Shouldn't that be the thing right. that we care about? But for whatever reason, yeah. it's not. And I think right. that is one of the bigger challenges that many pastors face. What you just mentioned mm-hmm. is, I don't know why this, and again, I'm not picking right. on this specific circumstance, but I think a lot of pastors mm-hmm. can resonate, why this in my city mm-hmm. or this in my country or this in the world mm-hmm. has become what it is. Some may say, well, it's the media's, you know, their bias that they're trying to push on us. Mm-hmm. And some of that may be true.
Yeah.
I think there's that could have been me mm-hmm. that is very true. I think there's, you know, I've quoted mm-hmm. the Joker, the Batman Dark Knight quote, where he says, you know, if military people in the military are killed in a war, nobody really questions it because, oh, it's sad, but oh, that's they're in a war. Mm-hmm. But when somebody in your community dies, you know, for us, it wasn't that long ago where two yeah. police officers and a paramedic were killed mm-hmm. in a city where our building is in. Mm-hmm. And so then it rallies people. So mm-hmm. again, I'm kind of going on a trail here, yeah. but I do think that we don't control that,
right. yeah.
but I think the follow-up is mm-hmm. it's now our responsibility to pastor what mm-hmm. we don't control.
Right.
And I think that's maybe the more like the freeing part to a pastor to say, no, you don't control what mm-hmm. the media is talking about.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You don't control what the cultural storm is. Mm-hmm. You may even not agree that it's worth the level of attention that it's right. getting, but it is.
Right.
Now, how do you pastor through that? Yeah, and right. I think that's what a lot of pastors in Minneapolis learn the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're better for it.
Right.
You know, yeah. we were just together yesterday at the time of this recording, yesterday with many of the pastors that I was working with throughout this process of mm-hmm. of healing and restoration, praying for our city. And you see them and you go, oh my goodness, good to
right.
see you.
Yeah. Right.
I know you because of the crisis and devastation yeah. that right. happened in our yeah. city.
Right.
I wouldn't have known you otherwise.
Right. Yeah.
For sake of time for this conversation,
yeah.
maybe we can jump through those quicker, even though they're not quick hits.
yeah.
I think right. that we could jump through so that the type A people who are making their list
sure.
of what are the pitfalls that I should avoid, mm-hmm. we can get through them, and then maybe we'll come back later at another time to discuss them further. But
yeah. sure. I just wanted to pause on what you just shared, though, and the example that Portia said, because there's always kind of a perfect storm of things that can, A, people need care, and simultaneously, the people that are supposed to care for them feel paralyzed. Mm-hmm. And it's usually, I'm laughing just because we've all experienced yeah. that, not because it's funny. I'm sorry, I've been told I do that before when I'm just like, wow, it comes out mm-hmm. as a laugh. But, and it's that combination of an authentic identity experience. It's so deep. And nobody gets your story and what you struggle with like you do. No one understands. Mm-hmm. But people can be invited in and care to a certain extent. But then you add to that politics, you add to that media, you add to all these distortions that make it really hard to come back to the person that God has set in front of you. And so I've really, like, I've joked, like, who's in the cubicle next to you? Mm-hmm. Because we shouldn't be driven by the storms that other people dictate. Right. And just a quick example, I just had lunch with a friend today who is Russian and said, yeah, there's actually some really significant things. There's a huge terrorist attack in Russia this weekend. Mm-hmm. And as we talked about it, I was like, she's like, yeah, I couldn't find it on any of the media sources. And so I really had to look one up. And then it was really short and really skewed. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, that's crazy that you go in to your family, your church, your group, and no one would even know this happened unless you said it, mm-hmm. because it's not being featured. But care for her and care for that person is just like, oh, I can just hear you and say, wow, I'm so sorry that happened to you, and kind of like cue into that empathy in that space. And so I really think that at the bottom of this, we talk about identity a lot because it's God caring for all of these deep things. And us as believers standing in the gap to say, I'm going to pray for you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to learn from you. And so I think if anyone is listening to this and they're feeling like, this is overwhelming, mm-hmm. I don't know where to start, actually just ask even the Holy Spirit right now, like, who's around me? Like, who's on my team that I know that there's something that they've brought up, but I've never really listened before. I've never really asked or keyed into that. Mm-hmm. And so if you start to do that, it's like, it'll just unravel in a good way, so.
Yeah, I think how you frame something too, mm-hmm. if you say, we are trying to solve a problem of X diversity and we have brought in this group to help mm-hmm. us solve that problem, it's probably gonna lose, right?
Right.
Versus, we wanna be better ministers.
Yeah.
And in order to be better ministers, we think we need to have a holistic mm-hmm. view of the gospel. And here's mm-hmm. one tool Mm-hmm. that we think can help us with that holistic view. Mm-hmm. And it's in this area. Now, it may mm-hmm. take longer mm-hmm. than other things, like management training. But as we know, management training is a long-term process. Right. We know mm-hmm. that credentialing, getting mm-hmm. credentialed as a minister is not, mm-hmm. oh, show up and you get credentialed. There's a process to it. And so I do think that I've had to discover that, I'm learning and adding this, and I don't— The term tool in the belt is, mm-hmm. I don't love it because it feels like I pull it out when I need it, and I don't think it's like that. Mm-hmm. It's more of something that it embodies who we are.
Yeah.
But ironically, my strength finders, the bottom strength finders of mine is empathy. It's literally the bottom one. And I was talking to a strength finders coach about that. And she just brought up how you need to be much more intentional I'm strategic, futuristic, mm-hmm. command, moving forward, like that's mm-hmm. I want to move forward in that way. That's the achiever in me, mm-hmm. and even in marriage, in ministry, I've had to step back. And I would say this process has helped me mm-hmm. to go, even if it's butting heads with one of the exercises, and saying I don't agree with this. And it's like sometimes that hour or 2 hours of talking, and then trust build up over mm-hmm. time
mm-hmm.
to say we're not going to agree on everything, but the track record of trust has helped me to say, I don't need to agree on everything, mm-hmm. but our mission is aligned mm-hmm. and our hearts are aligned. Mm-hmm. Right. And because of that, the process works in that way. Mm-hmm. And then you hear all these things that are happening. You go, mm-hmm. oh, that was cool. Our staff development plan came out of this. Mm-hmm. I mentioned the elevator in Faribault. Mm-hmm. We have different hiring practices to where we used to kind of just do the hiring in the shadows. Mm-hmm. And now we say, let's let people apply more. And it was like HR was trying to get them to apply, but people were so excited to fill the position in a good way that they just filled it. Mm-hmm. And it was like, well, we didn't even do that right. Well, now mm-hmm. there's people on our team that probably wouldn't have been on our team today if we would have done it the way we did it before. So there's mm-hmm. all of these things that we've seen from this that you go, oh, that's not what I thought when I heard mm-hmm. DEI or the person's company that they're fighting against it. Mm-hmm. That's actually a really cool ministry that's mm-hmm. happening. And mm-hmm. so as we do this process of listening, working with leaders, I'll let you jump in and maybe finish the sentence. But again, we could probably talk for 3 hours and maybe some people listening say yes and other people say, no, I'm about to get to the meeting that I'm driving to and I need to turn off this episode.
But. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the ones you've already hit on, you can mm-hmm. help, Portia, because we scripted all this, then we decided to just go with the conversation today so it's not in front of us. But kind of the first pitfall that we talked around was doing it based on your own perspective. Mm-hmm. Just like reacting in the moment, not really taking time to get to the root of it or listen and learn. And that's the solution, is listen and learn. And there's a lot of ways to do that. Mm-hmm. But as a community, it's like, don't be afraid to start there and actually get organized about how you do that, because you can listen in an echo chamber of people who think very similarly to you and will agree with all of your great points that you make. Mm-hmm. But when you can get around people and really listen, especially to the hurting, to the marginalized, to those that have kind of been put on the back burner and not really invited in, if you can take time, and that's actually, that's its own journey. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one. Second one you talked about was leadership. So the other big pitfall, there's a lot of energy in society around this, but, and people can come and either it can be cancel culture, it can be negative, or it can be out of this really beautiful heart of saying, this matters to God. Why aren't we doing this? Mm-hmm. And as those people come and the people with pure hearts are coming together saying, we got to do something, making sure that your leadership is engaged.
Right.
And this is, I'm going to go on the pitfall. You can go on the solution to it. Okay. But the, I have experienced a lot of leaders, especially within the church. Like I was trying to schedule a meeting with someone because I was told to, and they're like, oh, I'm out of town. They're like, oh no, I'm sorry, I'm in Florida. And then it came down to the point where they're like, no, actually I'm afraid that if what I tell you is recorded, I could lose my job for saying what I really think about this topic. Mm-hmm. Because their lens in the church was different than the corporate lens that they worked in. And so it does feel high stakes for leaders. And so we're not downplaying that or brushing over it, but we're saying that's why. It's like your elder board, your leadership team, get people together for a conversation, go through a training. So stay on the solution.
Well, I mean, because once there's buy-in, we all know this is how culture changes. This is change management. Yeah. There has to be a cultural shift that is being led. Otherwise, it's just going to fall flat. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the flavor of the day. It's going to be the style of the moment. And then we go on back to business as usual. Mm-hmm. And so we have found, and I'm saying we, again, I don't even live in Minnesota anymore. My husband is not on staff at River Valley anymore. But because it was such a part of our life, I still say we.
And it was pretty recent.
That is true. We have seen the fruit that has come from leaders saying, yes, this is important. Mm-hmm. Yes, we are staying on mission and we are looking at how we can love our communities better. And so then when there's an overflow into the staff, it makes that process so much more easy. The first sessions that we did with the staff, we were able to come in and say, this is what your leaders have said. Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the executive pastors, Pastor Chris Book, he opened up every session that we had and said, we agree, we are for, we bless. This is what is in my heart personally for my family that I want to see, that the different people that my children encounter when they go to school, that it is, may it be so in the church, that there not be a separation between the two. Mm-hmm. And so because we had leadership buy-in, not just a signature, but presence and words. And we were able to point back to, this is what our lead pastor has said. This is what is in his heart. It made that process just go so much more smoothly because the trust that you talked about that's built up over time, obviously staff, we trust our leadership. And they're like, oh, okay, well, let me lean into this a little bit more. And something that Pastor Rob, lead pastor of River Valley Church, has said that's really encouraged my heart is that the work is never done. So in understanding that this isn't a one and done, this is, there's going to be nuance. We're going to flex. There's going to be different things that we encounter. And it's okay that the work is not done because the Lord is equipping us. And because the heart posture has already been set, it's just, all right, we get to learn something new. And I think that's so, so important. Mm. Okay.
And that's good discipleship.
That
is good. The work is not done. It's not a fix. It's not, you know, and I love, Logan, you hit on that so well today that— it's actually a phrase that we say, it came out of this process, that diversity is not a problem to solve, but a garden to grow. Mm-hmm. Because we're working with diverse peoples that represent the Imago Dei, the image of God, through their multifaceted beauty. And when we draw that out and actually create healthy, diverse teams, we just experience more of God, and it's so powerful. And they're so much more equipped to reach the world and to do the things that they were called to do. And so that's just, that brings us life because we picture it as like a creative act, you know, like a healing that's happening, not always a deficit or a danger. Mm-hmm. The third one that we said, I think if I were to simplify it, is just the danger is to stop there, to sit in a boardroom and talk in circles and argue and be like, well, it's not perfect. The beauty is inviting people along in that process. Yeah. And so I don't know if you could tell those of you listening that we chose to focus on staff. Mm-hmm. And that's painful when your community's in pain. Mm-hmm. But we needed that strength from the inside because we believed that the staff, that the teams are the ones called to minister to the community. Mm-hmm. Again, we could write a memo. We could put out a statement. We could gloss over it. But the long-term healing that needed to happen requires time, and that work is still at work.
Right.
So our last celebration point at the River Valley was talking about at the director level and working with people and kind of flowing through the organization. And the next thing would be continuing this process so that your community understands this is the work we put in. Here's why it matters to us. And here are places we're still growing and not perfect. Mm-hmm. And even just saying that can also be just part of the beautiful future that we're moving to.
Yeah, and I'll add the bonus one that I mentioned about language. I know that kind of ties together, but I do think that's an important factor that we discovered is like the pitfall is just assuming that everyone understands what you're what the word is you're using.
Right.
And I think the further clarity, even in when we were presenting this to people, when we were talking about the journey, having those clarifying, hey, this is what we mean by that. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is what we don't mean by that.
Right.
And then having those having the trust of leaders who are going to get asked. And that's something that I'm so practical to where I know that people, we have a sidebar culture or we had more of one, I would say before. And we still do. Everyone has that in to some degree. I think there's a healthy version and an unhealthy version of, hey, I know that's what you said on stage, but give me the real scoop. What's actually happening? Right. It happens all the time. I was just on the phone with one of our partners today for the network. And I said, people do that. We have a network partner. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, okay, I know that they paid you the money to be at the conference, but give me the real scoop. Are they really a good partner or did you just take their money? You know,
right.
Wow,
and
yeah.
it's like, I don't want to work with people who I have to say, no, I just took their money. It's like, well, first of all, that's unethical, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I understand what they're asking.
Yeah.
Is this a sponsorship or is this an endorsement?
Mm-hmm.
Is this, if I were you, I would work with them? Or if it makes sense for you, you should work with them.
Mm-hmm.
Very different endorsements, very different verbiage. And that's how I want to live my life, is to say, no, like there are people that live in that camp and it doesn't mean I hate them.
Right.
But I want to be in those places to say, I want to endorse this. If you're going to do this at your church, if you're going to take the step and say, okay, I want to invest more into my staff development in this way. I want to invest more into my congregation in this way. If it is to appease, I used that word earlier. Mm-hmm. If it's to appease anyone, then don't do it.
100%.
If it's to check a box so that you feel good as a pastor of maybe you'd say, I look different than my congregation or I don't understand my congregation, for them to feel like I've heard them, I'm going to do this wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But if it's, no, I want to hear them better. I want to understand them better. Yeah. I want to be a better minister. And I'm willing to go slow through the process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then I would say absolutely be involved with it.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I think that maybe you can add a little bit more language to what I'm trying to say for people who are interested. I just think that, for me, it's so easy for me. I'm a thinker. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned feeling is low on my list. I'm a thinker. I like to say, okay, this is the problem. This is how I solve it. And it's just easy for me to push things like this aside. Mm-hmm. And I probably did several times throughout the process, you know, and thankfully you guys and others on the team were, okay, don't push that aside completely. But I think there's a lot of people who find themselves there who just say it's not a priority, unless, again, maybe they found this video later and they go, now it's a reactionary, which is okay.
Right.
At least you're thinking about it.
Right.
But what would you say maybe to those listening who say, how do I know if where I'm at in our organization, whether it be a staff, whether it be deacons on my my team, or whether it be a Christian nonprofit organization that's listening, how do I know that I should do this, or I'm in a good spot, or I'm not? Because I think that's the honest question that many people are considering right now.
I would encourage the pastor or the leader that's listening to this to not answer that question by yourself.
That's good.
That you would bring that question to the teams where that you're leading, because it could be that you are great. And it also could be that there's a blind spot. And because it's a blind spot, you don't know and you won't know unless you ask. And it takes all, we talked about this earlier, you might hear back, yeah, we've been missing this for a long time. Mm-hmm. And just be going, you asking could be the answer to prayers that have been prayed mm-hmm. of people Good. Saying, God, you've called me to be here. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to wait for your timing. And you asking is the, in the natural, God, you heard. And mm-hmm. now there is an opening for relationship. Mm-hmm. There's an opening for other people in the congregation. Because mm-hmm. again, you don't know what you don't No. And so I would encourage you, pastor, I'd encourage you, leader, to bring other people into mm-hmm. the conversation. And Alicia referenced earlier, not just the people who are going to tell you, you are awesome. You are great. I think everything you say is amazing. But to maybe look, who has God brought to you? Who is in your congregation? If you're married, you might need to ask your spouse, because let's be real here for a second. Our spouses can tell us things that maybe you're like, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And so, but someone who knows you well and knows your leadership well, mm-hmm. This is not a question to just answer by yourself.
Yeah. We made it really practical, as we've discovered, because we find people that are all on all different phases. And we actually just made them the three phases of Imago Dei. Mm-hmm. And so some people are just like coming out of that fear and trepidation and saying, where do I start? What, can I say this? You mm-hmm. know, and that's one group of people that has a certain set of needs. There's also people that are like, okay, my leadership's engaged. We've been talking about it. What's next? What's the next resource? How do we do this with HR? Mm-hmm. And then there's people that are like, we have this diversity. We have this space. How do I keep growing my teams? How do I work on cultural competency with my leaders? And so if you don't know the answer to that question, ask the people around you. Mm-hmm. And I would say get help. Like mm-hmm. We exist because enough people came to us
right.
that were curious. And then we had enough people coming to us that were like, we can't be in person with everyone. As much as we'd love to spend as much time with everyone as we did at River Valley,
right.
We took a lot of—
We had a strategic advantage.
Yeah. We took a lot of those resources and we packaged them into a course, a 5-session course that— it's the same process, and it's humbling and mm-hmm. it's fun. I mean, I don't know if you can tell this, but one of our passions is restoring joy around this conversation too, and no fear in addressing the challenging societal things. I actually love that part, but really anchoring that this was in God's heart before it was in the enemy's.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you can set yourself up to, like, our course does the same process of saying, how can our team unify around language? Let's have mm-hmm. this conversation. You go through it together. And so if you can take a season, take a couple weeks, it's basically like running a small group.
Right.
But you do it in such a way that your team can go through that journey on their own. Because I really love telling people, I'm like, you are the only one, like, you are called to lead in your space. I'm right. not called to be there. You're called to be there.
Right.
And so you growing in this matters and you can do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I just want to say again, as someone from the other side of things, mm-hmm. for those who are listening, the more you read into something, mm. the more stress you're going to get.
That's good. Yeah.
And I just think that you, yeah. again, having trusted yeah. voices that mm-hmm. can help to, like, even moments, I know early on, Alicia, you sometimes gauge the room and just having an EQ that says, I'm feeling there's some tension here. This isn't meant to have tension. So clearly there's an interpretation issue here. Mm-hmm. So I would just encourage those mm-hmm. to, I believe, and I hope I'm not just saying this in isolation. I hope many other people on our team yeah. would, but I really believe, conversations related to all areas mm-hmm. of diversity and belonging mm-hmm. have the stress around them has reduced mm-hmm. and the importance around them has increased.
Cool.
But it is, oh, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. Let's have that conversation. Now, in the process, as many people have had, we've had staff transitions. Mm-hmm. We've had congregation transitions. Mm-hmm. We've had ups and downs. We've had moments where we go, ooh, that looked a little bit more like the old us, or wow, that's a new problem we didn't know we'd be able to discover mm-hmm. or didn't know we'd be able to handle, and we need to rediscover that. And so mm-hmm. I just, again, I would encourage those who are listening to just lower your yeah. level of stress and open up, mm-hmm. God, what do you want to speak to me?
Right.
Wow. And yeah. I think then you'll be encouraged by it. And so, yeah. again, thank you. We're over an hour now. And so yeah. thank you both for your time and your friendship and your help over the years. Absolutely. And just hope that as you continue to do the work that you do, that more mm-hmm. people feel the same way that we felt, which says, oh, this was not what I thought it was in mm-hmm. a good way. Right. And we can discover more beauty and diversity and belonging in our churches.
Mm-hmm. So. Amen.
So good.
And amen.
Thank Thank you, Pastor Logan.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Talking Church on YouTube. If you like this podcast, would you like this video so more people can find it, as well as leave a comment? We'd love to know what you liked about this episode, what was most meaningful to you, as well as other topics you'd love to see in the future. And of course, subscribe to this channel so you don't miss an episode. We have awesome episodes coming up. I also want to send you an invitation to River Valley Conference. It's July 8th and 9th, and we are in for an amazing treat because we have Sammy Rodriguez coming. If you've never heard him preach, he is a preacher of all preachers. He's coming. We have Dr. Alan Tennyson coming back, who's going to share his theology wisdom. We have Johnson and Jenna from Elevation Church that are going to be leading worship. And we're just so excited for all that's going to happen. Of course, Pastor Rob will be there. I'll be there. We'll have amazing breakout guests as well. So if you have not signed up, sign up for River Valley Conference. And we hope to see you here in July. And we hope to see you next week on next week's Talking Church episode.